all hear it, that we would all receive it, that we would all walk in it, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, that are here, those that are online or even watching this afterward. God, that you would speak to us right where we are. For we need you, God. We need you in every facet, every part of our lives, God. More so than we even realize sometimes, Lord. So we thank you that you're always there. Your word says you're near us, even in our mouths. If we would just call upon your name, you would show yourself strong on our behalf. And we thank you, Lord God. We give you honor and praise. We pray for those that are sick, that could not be with us on this morning, those that are on their jobs, God, in various places, Lord, because we know that wherever they are, you are. And we thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. And say good morning to somebody sitting next to you. Glad to see you here. And good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. In the midst of all our wet weather we've been having, amen, it's still good to be in God's kingdom. We'll go ahead and release our children to their classes, and we'll get ready to see what God has for us this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God for our young people. Next week we got some baptisms we're going to be doing next Sunday. Man, we got some young people in there getting baptized. I love it when the young folk grab hold and say they want to live for God, amen. Turn their lives over to him, amen. Amen. There's no better place to be than in the hands of the Lord. Amen. That's better than being even in your parents' hands. Right? Right? I mean, parents are good, but they ain't God. Right? They just people's trying to make it too. How do I know that? Because I'm a parent. I'm a people's trying to make it, man. I'm trying to hold on, trying to do what's good. And when I look back, man, I didn't always get it right. How about you? Man, but thank God for his grace, his mercy over our lives. Amen. So this morning, amen, we just thank God for allowing us to be here. Amen. And in this message, amen, I pray that it causes us to at least consider our lives, amen, going forward. You know, sometimes we spend more time and energy in the past. Amen. Struggling with what we've been through or what we're going through or what happened to us or what somebody did to us. And our past can be so heavy, amen, that it's a weight that we can't get rid of, and it holds us down and holds us back from moving forward. Amen. And even when like I say myself, we made our own mistakes. Our mistakes can be the thing that holds us back, amen. The guilt, the shame, amen. The feelings of unworthiness, hallelujah. And then there's the other side, amen. We can be so self-absorbed, amen, that we miss out too, amen. So, I mean, we as people can be, if I can use the word fickle, amen, we can be some fickle people sometimes, amen. Maybe I'm not talking about you. I'm not trying to look at nobody. Maybe it's just me, but yeah, we got to work on ourselves. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but I got somewhere to go. Amen. And I'm looking forward, amen, to what the Lord has in store, amen, for his people. Because, you know, the word just, it tells us so much about it, amen. But, you know, there's only so much you can put in the book. I remember at the end of the book of John, amen, this statement was made. You know, if they wrote down everything that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough. The books could not be written. Amen. And so, and that's just what he did in 3.5 years of ministry. So think about all that God has done, amen, from the beginning of time. Amen. We can't even wrap our minds around it all. Amen. It's just maybe too much, you know, that we can even begin to comprehend. But I thank God because our minds are too little to wrap around God. He just keeps revealing himself to us more and more and more and greater, amen. But I hold on the past, amen. I hold on those things can hold us back. But not only that, amen, you know, the truth is our past shouldn't hold us back. It shouldn't hold us down, amen. But it should motivate us. It should propel us forward. It should cause us to look for, you know, a better way. How many of us are looking for a better way? Amen. Try to find a better way to deal with crazy folk around you. A better way of dealing with yourself. A better way of carrying and conducting yourself. Amen. You know, so we don't have to be stuck in the past. We don't have to let our past hold us down. Amen. But it can be a part of the foundation that we build upon. Amen. To do better, to be better, to do more for the kingdom of God. See, amen. So those holdbacks don't have to be true in our lives. Amen. We can move forward from it. Amen. And what's done is done. Y'all say that with me. What's done is done. Amen. We can think on it. We can hang out there. But you can't go back and change it. Amen. No matter how hard we try. Now, you can change from it, but you can't go back and change it. Amen. So, and I said it to say, man, we dwell on something we can't change. But it is something that can change us so that we can do better moving forward. Amen. So what's done is done. Amen. We can't work on that no more, but we can work on what? Us. Ourselves. You know, and even in that, sometimes we're busy working on other folks and we're not working on ourselves. Amen. But I believe that if we look at our mistakes, our shortcomings of the past, amen, things that we failed at or struggled with or whatever, it should become a catalyst upon which we can build. A catalyst is something you put in that activates something. Amen. I remember, you know, my years in the military, man, we, you know, running the paint shop for the aircraft, amen, we would get the paint and you get the base and then you pour those two together and then there was a catalyst you put in there. And that catalyst heated it up and it activated and it made the paint come together right so it could do the job it was supposed to do. Amen. But the parts alone couldn't accomplish anything. And I think about that because how the word says, all things work what? Together for the good. So a part is not good, but when you put it all together, right, now you got something. Amen. So when you put your mistakes, amen, with your understanding of God, his word, amen, when your understanding of the hurt and the pain it caused, when you put it all together, it should develop some good in our lives. Right? It should produce, amen, and propel us to move forward. Amen. But I'm looking, amen, and, you know, only in this present time and world, amen, can we really look and see that things are falling short. Right? Where can we put our confidence? In whom can we put our confidence? Yeah, I'm not talking about history, amen, and we ain't got to the future yet, but right now, amen, in whom can we put our confidence totally and completely other than God? Yeah, because I know I even fail me sometimes. Amen. I'll set plans to get this, this, and this done, and I'll allow myself to get distracted, or this things happen, and something else comes up that I got to give attention to, and next thing I know, I haven't accomplished what I set out to do on that day or that week or whatever it was. Amen. So we can fail ourselves, but God is always on time. He's always true. He's always right. Amen. So we need to recognize, amen, that we can put our confidence in him. Amen. Because if we think, amen, that we can do it on our own, we're still coming up short. Amen. Just understand, amen, the life that we live right now, amen, if we think that's all it is and that's what it's all about, amen, and what we can achieve or what we can accomplish, you know, we still are operating with no real understanding of life, amen, and its purpose. Amen, from a spiritual perspective. You know, a lot of people put a lot of energy into achieving and becoming this and becoming that. Amen, and doing all that you can do and all that you desire to do. And ain't nothing wrong with that as long as you got it in the right place. Amen, we should be achievers. We should be, you know, pressing to improve and to do better. But as long as we have the right perspective, because all the things that we do, amen, and all the things that we accomplish won't matter a bit, amen, if we're not doing it as unto Christ. You know, I want to read this following passage with you, amen. And this is Philippians 3, beginning at verse number 11, amen. Because you're here, you know something about God. You heard something about God. You've given your life to Christ. But it says here, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. You know what he's saying? If I can just get an understanding of this, amen. If I can be one of those, amen, that and understand that this too can be my opportunity to be resurrected, not on my own, but with Christ, by Christ. But if I can, not that I've already risen because I'm still in this flesh. Amen. He's letting them know. He said, either we're already perfect. He said, I'm not perfect. Paul is just laying out a thought here. He said, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, I always think about that passage. When it comes to my mind, I read it or I hear it. Amen. And I hear him say, if I could just get a hold of this thing, get an understanding of this thing that has got a hold of me. Right? Because the Bible said, no man comes unto the Lord except he draws him. Therefore, we've all been drawn by God. Amen. And there's something about it that just keeps pulling on us, Donnie. It keeps us, you know. But he's saying, it's got me. But do I get it? It's got a hold of me, but have I really wrapped my understanding around it? Right. What's it mean to be drawn and saved by Christ? Amen. What's it mean to walk after his ways and to continue to trust him in every situation and circumstance? What's it mean, amen, to lay down my life, amen, for this and even for the brethren? What's that really? You know, he's saying, help me to apprehend. Help me to get a hold of this. Help me to understand this situation that I'm in. And that's why we're here. That's why I'm here. Amen. I do what God has called me to do, but I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the big picture. I'm still trying to, you know, understand more and more every day of what it means, amen, to walk for him. You know, what it means to trust him unequivocally without any doubt. You know, when things rise, you be wondering, Lord, what we gonna do? Instead of saying, Lord, you got it. You know, to be in a place where the wonder, not the wonder of him, but the wonder of what? That's where we got to get. That's what we should be striving for. Amen. The 13th verse said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, forgetting the past. Instead of hanging out in the past. Instead of being stuck in the past, instead of being held back by the past, amen, or even instead of being propped up by the past, because, you know, he could boast of his education, he could boast of his accolades, but he said, even forgetting those things, he said, help me, he said, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize. Amen. For the prize. What's the prize? The prize is to be with Christ. The prize is to enter in eternity with God. The prize is to spend an eternity worshiping him and serving him. Amen. And serving his new kingdom and, you know, operating like he intended for us to operate, being in right and good relationship, amen, with him, being like him. Amen. The prize, amen, is more than a certificate that you frame and put on a wall. Amen. It's more than the accolades we get from one another. Amen. It's so far beyond, amen, what we can begin to understand. But it's, you know, but he said, let us therefore, us. So he's talking to the people. He's talking to the Romans. He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye other be otherwise minded, in other words, you're thinking the wrong thing. If you're off, if you're thinking something else, what's he say? God shall reveal even this unto you. And I think that's what he's kind of doing even for me and for you this morning. He's reminding us where you're spending your thought life. Where are you putting your energy, amen, moving forward? Are you still holding on or looking at this person or that thing or situation you went through? Or are you still only focused on the goals and the things that you can achieve in this life, in this season, in this world? Or are you elevating your thinking to a higher place and a higher purpose, and recognizing that where we are now is an opportunity, amen, to draw close to Him, an opportunity, amen, to show Him, amen, our diligence, our commitment, and our decision to stand firm and to stand fast in the things of God. Think about the message we received on last week that Reverend Paul so powerfully delivered, amen, helping us to understand we have to trust the process. We got to trust it. And in that, we were saying we got to trust His process, not ours. Not come up with our own way, our own, you know, way of doing things, but trust the process, amen. Because sometimes we got to go through some things that we just don't want to go through. Amen. I'm there. I've been through some situations and circumstances, some of my own doing, that I didn't want to go through. Amen. But you know what? I didn't have no better sense than to do it all. But if I just trusted Him, He got me through those situations. I trusted the process, amen, and the outcomes could have been different, but God said not so. And I don't know if I'm the only one in here, amen, when your outcome wasn't the outcome, amen, that should have been, amen, because the outcome, you know, is by the grace of God only. Because even when you couldn't see it, you didn't understand it, the process was working on your behalf. We got to put our hope in Him, our trust in Him, amen, that we can hold on, amen, and realize, amen, that this life is so short. This life is so short. It behooves us, amen, to take step by step in God. Don't try to get ahead of Him. And I know you sure enough don't want to be left behind. Amen. But we want to be together with Him. But He said, He let us know, nevertheless, amen, He told them, you know, He's going to reveal it to you if you're thinking wrong. Amen. But on the other hand, that next 16 verse, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, which you've already grappled, which you do understand. Amen. He said, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Amen. Don't forget what you got. Can you say, don't forget what you got. But walk in that. Hold on to that. Be steadfast and be unmovable in that. Because the world's trying to change us. The world's trying to change everybody around us, amen. But like I said, you know, it behooves us, amen, that sometimes we got to take a step back, amen, and really look at what's going on around us. Take a step back and evaluate all that we can and have accomplished in our lives. Some good things we've accomplished. Amen. Some things that we set out to do and we achieved the goal. Amen. And ain't nothing wrong with that. That's good. Amen. But just look back, amen, those things that we've accomplished in this world, then ask ourselves a very short but provoking two-word question. And this is the topic of our message this morning. What then? What, I've done all this. What then? What's next? You know? What's next? I mean, when we decide, you know, after we've gone and we've stroven and we've got the degree, amen, and we've got the new car, or we got the new house, or we got the husband or the wife, and we got the beautiful children raising up, and everything is going good in our life. You've stepped out and you started the business, amen, and the business is thriving, and everybody's giving you a pat on the back. Then what? You know, we always end up moving the bar a little higher. Amen. We move it a little closer, a little further. Amen. But no matter what it is that we're trying to achieve, what it is we're trying to accomplish, amen, once you got there, then what? There's always another step. There's always something else. You know, sometimes we want to get to a place, and when we get to that place, we realize that this is not as comfortable as I thought it was going to be. You know, when I didn't have no money, I didn't worry about it because, you know, couldn't no one take what I didn't have. But now that I got a few nickels, now I'm worried about who's going to get it. It's always something that is calling to say, what's next? What you going to do? When you've done it all, amen, when you walked away, amen, and you're done with that last goal. You know, I think about it sometimes as you're walking off the stage, you're getting that bachelor's. Or you're walking off the stage and you're getting that, you got the master's certificate in your hand. Or you put on that little funny hat because you got the doctorate. Now what? Education is great. It's good. But one thing I'm trying to drive home is no matter what we accomplish in this life, and we can do some great things, that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. But then when you lay down your head for the last time and breathe your next breath, what then? That's the one we need to think about. That's the moments that we all have in common. That we all, amen, have a destiny. I've heard it put, an assignment or an appointment with death without the privilege of cancellation. Problem is, we don't know when that appointment is. Now, I'm a person that likes to be on time. You know, I use my little device here faithfully. If I got an appointment, if my wife got an appointment, it's on my calendar. Boom, boom, boom. If I got an appointment with somebody, it's on my calendar. I make sure, and I check it every day. I'm making sure that, you know, I'm where I need to be, when I need to be, and when I'm late, it bothers me. You know, when I especially, you know, when I overlook something, I'm like, how in the world? You know, because, you know, I got the reminder set. You know, I got all this thing going just to make sure I'm on time. But the one appointment I can't put on my calendar is when I'm going to breathe my last breath. And you know, and it don't do no good to consult with the Lord about it because he ain't going to tell you either. But the one thing I know, just like I want to be on time and I want to be ready for the other appointments, I know I want to be ready for this one. So I look at it and I say, you know, we don't have the privilege, amen. But that is the question, where the question really becomes important. Because when we've taken the time and the energy and the cost and the expense, amen, the emotions and everything else that goes with the package, amen, to accomplish everything else. If we haven't put any effort in preparing for that day and that question, all the rest of it means nothing. All the rest of it becomes very, very futile in the big picture. What then? What comes next? What you going to do when you walk out these doors? Now, we may have all the great plans in the world, but how many of you know our plans change? They can change without notice. Amen. They can change whether we want them to or not. Amen. Because we're not in control of everything. You know, even some of us control freaks in here, we're not in control of everything like we'd like to be. Amen. Things can, they can put what they say, a monkey wrench in your plans real quick. You know, a word from God can change your plans in an instant. Amen. And you better be ready, amen. Or, you know, you gotta, you know, be disobedient. No, you wanna be ready. You want to align yourself, amen, with what he's saying, amen. What else is there that we're trying to conquer? Or what else is there that we need to achieve, amen, that at the end of it, we still got to ask the same question. What am I doing now? You know, I look, amen, at how we can devote our lives to a career. But there comes a time when you got to walk out that door for the last time. You got to leave for someone else to take over. Amen. And, you know, whether it's retiring from the military, retiring from your job, amen, stepping down from ministry, there's always what's next. Because you just can't go sit in the corner and vegetate. You don't want to be, you know, just not unproductive, amen. And I've seen it time and time again, sadly, so that when people step down or step back or retire, if they don't engage themselves in something else, they're soon gone. Because they lose the productivity, amen. But as long as you stay engaged, amen, and you know God is with you, amen, you can do a lot of things. I've seen gentlemen and women and gentlemen who have accomplished not just one and two, but three careers in their life. Because they kept going, kept working, stayed engaged, amen. And you know, it revitalizes you. It gives you a purpose, amen. And I'm talking about in the natural, right? But it also in the spiritual, the same thing applies. Lord, what do you want me to do next? How you want me to operate? How do you want me to respond? Amen. And always keeping him, always keeping his purpose, his call, his will, his desire in the forefront of our mind. And I believe if we do that, amen, our lives will always be productive. Our lives will always, amen, produce something for the kingdom. Oh, my goodness. I have to call her back later. Amen. But we look at, amen, just so y'all know, that was my sister calling from Texas. Amen. Wasn't no other woman. Okay. But I have to call back later. But just want y'all to know, y'all went, who's she? I knew the minds was working. Mm-hmm. Who calling that don't know he'd be in church at this time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You know, but what are we going to do? Let me let y'all rest on that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Get peace in your head. Amen. All is well. Amen. Ultimately, we have to lay down our heads and face that final question. The finality of that question. And I believe that even now, in the natural, when we ask that question from one pursuit, one goal, one accomplishment to the other, that question should involve seeking God for the next step, for the next venture, for the next idea. What then, Lord? Now, what would you have me do? You know, because, you know, we don't have time in this life to spend on unrelated adventures. Amen. But I seek out purpose-related, in, you know, opportunities, purpose-related ventures, purpose-related engagements. Amen. That's going to add to what God has for me to do. Amen. And that, therefore, I believe, amen, that he's going to be with me through it because it aligns itself with where God wants me to go and what God wants me to do. Amen. So as we're heading for our destination, amen, which some of us can avoid, amen, we got some stops along the way. And I encourage you, I admonish you, amen, to make sure that those stops along the way, amen, and each next step, amen, is in alignment with God's will and God's purpose and God's call for your life. Always keep him involved. Always keep him in the midst as a part of what it is that you're doing. Because why? Because we're no more our own. We're bought with a price. That's what the scripture teaches, amen. Our lives, amen, are for him. So, Lord, what do you want me to do now? It's just not about me. It's no longer about me. In reality, even before we got saved, it wasn't just about you. Amen. It's about him calling you and drawing you to save your soul, to save my soul. Amen. So that we could be in relationship with him and do his bidding. To become salt and light. To become part of the body of Christ. Amen. To operate in the ways that he wants us to operate. Amen. But in every life, amen, woman, every man, woman, child, it doesn't matter. We come face to face with this reality of our mortality. You know, a lot of people, you know, that I talk to over the years don't like to attend funerals. And most of us don't like to talk about our own demise. You know, and when the parents come, we need to sit down, we need to talk about when I pass. We don't talk about that right now. And then what happens? They pass and you never got to talk about it. Right? Amen. But it's a reality of life that makes us uncomfortable. Why? Because anytime we have to engage it, it reminds us of our own mortality. We don't seem so invincible anymore. Because there too go I when the time comes. Amen. But when that time comes, will we be ready? Will we have already answered the question, then what? See, that's one question, that's one situation where you can have that question answered in advance. Because you've lived the life to answer it in advance. No matter what else you do, amen, this is the one place, amen, where you can strive with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength to answer that question. So when the time comes, whether it's sudden or it's drawn out, that question's already been answered in your life. I know it is well with my soul. Huh? I know. And it's comforting even. See, y'all, some of y'all are uncomfortable with me just talking about this right now. Yeah, I feel it. You know, but even comforting when we know that about our loved ones who go pass on. It's comforting to know that it was well with their soul with God. You know, it's troubling, amen, and we try to work it out in our minds for the others, but when we know that there was a woman, there was a man of God, they loved him with all their heart, amen, and they were satisfied and they were comfortable with that relationship and where they were going, it brings comfort to us. Amen. So we look on them and see that they'd already answered the question. What then? To be present from the body is what? To be absent, excuse me, from the body. It's to be present with the Lord. Okay? So that question needs to be answered. But along the way, until we get there, we got some work to do. Now, let's look here in Hebrews 9:27. Just the word tells us we can have an appointment. And as it is appointed unto some men once to die. Is that what it says? You know, it said all. Amen. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, I want you to pause and think for a minute. What's going to be the judgment over your life? If you were to stop breathing right now, I'm trying not to look at nobody because it's for all of us, you know. But if you were to stop breathing right now, and only you can be honest with yourself and really seek and search that out, what would be that judgment according to your understanding? And then push yours and standing aside and answer that according to the word of God. Because we all have that appointment. We all must face that judgment. And you know, one of the things is that even as I was working on this and praying, because this message has been in my spirit for the last few weeks, but I'm thinking, I'm like, Lord, I could be at peace right now. You could be at peace right now, knowing the answer, knowing that it is well. Amen. because I've made the commitment. I've yielded myself. I've decided what I'm going to do with Jesus. I'm going to let him in. And I'm going to let him have his way in my life. And nothing else in my life is going to override that relationship. Nothing else in my life, amen, is going to take priority over that relationship. No one else in my life is going to become more important than that relationship. No feeling or desire that I have is going to become more important than that relationship. Because if I let anything else in, then the answer to the question becomes shaky. And I don't like feeling or desire that I have is going to become more important than that relationship.
It's good.
Because if I let anything else in, then the answer to the question becomes shaky. And I don't like shaky. I like knowing that.
Listen, let him know. I'm ready. And I want us all to be able to say that same thing. I'm ready. When the time comes, amen, when the what then is finally come to meet me at my demise, I want to know that I'm ready. I'm good to go. Amen. Then what? Amen. Everything else doesn't really matter anymore when it comes down to that. Knowing who you are and whose you are and how you're operating, amen, in this life. Amen, because, you know, some people, well, maybe they feel like, well, there's no, it don't matter because there's no afterlife. It's a myth. You know, it's you know, just, you know, y'all talk about that stuff, but I just think once we die, there's nothing else. It's all over. Okay, I'll play you a silly game. And I'll ask you, then what if you're wrong? I mean, I'd rather live this way, amen, and not take chances. And if there's nothing, I didn't lose out. You're right. But if the Bible is true, and eternity is real, amen, and the blessings that God has in store for his people, amen, the assignments that he has, the rewards that the Bible speaks of that he has is real, and I, with all my heart, believe it is, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to take the risk or the chance to say, you know what, you know, flip a coin. Only way I'll flip a coin is if it got heads on both sides. Because I want it to be fixed in my favor with God. Amen. I don't want no tails, okay? No. I want to be right in that place he wants me to be and walking in that way. And I pray the same thing for each and every one of us, amen, that we're able, amen, because I don't want to be wrong. Eternity is too long. Huh? And I heard the preacher say, hell is too hot to be wrong. Amen. So I want to know that the then what is good for me when that time comes, amen. But until it comes, I'm gonna work on every other what then. Every other decision, every other choice, every other move, every other opportunity, amen, to line it up to get me to that final one where it's well with my soul. That's the goal, amen. You know, so hey, I don't want to be wrong, you know, but it's sad to say that there are many people who have been and sadly will be literally dead wrong, and that's not good. So it's our job to be the light and the salt. It's our job, amen, to reach and tell people about the goodness of God, amen, and the things that he has in store. All mankind at some point, amen, has got to make this decision, amen, for him. Amen. I don't care whether you choose now or not, but you got to make a decision for him at some point in your life. Amen. I mean, we can casually relegate that to other people. Amen. Well, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm an agnostic or I'm an atheist. Amen. I'm not even going. You know what? That's like saying I don't believe in gravity until you step off a cliff and you know it's real. right? You trip over a step, and you know it's real, right? I mean, it's like, you can't, just because you can't see it, don't mean it ain't got no force. Don't mean it ain't got no power. You can't see the wind, but it can blow hard enough to take a house down. Only reason you see the wind is because you see the effects of the wind. You don't ever see the wind. You see the dust in the wind. Amen. See, what am I saying? You, just because you don't see God, don't think he ain't real. But at the same time, open your eyes and see the effects. Just go take a biology class and really think about it from the perspective of creation. See how he created these bodies. See how he put together, you know, a blade of grass that grows without our help. And it knows how to go dormant through the winter season. And it knows when to wake up in the spring and do what it's supposed to do. See, when we say there's no creator, there's a whole lot of things you got to dismiss. He created nature, right? He says so in his book. He created all these things, amen. But looking on here, amen, what's it look like, amen, to let somebody else? Let's look at Matthew. Amen. See, because this is some of the crowd, amen. This is some of the people, amen, just even in our world today. Matthew 27, starting at the 20th verse. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitude. This is when they were getting ready. They had arrested Jesus. They had taken him through the kangaroo court, and they delivered him over to Pilate to be crucified. And not only was he's about to be crucified for not doing something wrong, amen, but he's about to be, you know, handed over by the religious folk of his day. Because, you know, his what then wasn't their what then. They felt like he was coming to take over there, and they're about to lose their power and their authority, and they were right, because he was starting a whole new thing. Amen. And so they took him in. But look what it says. He said they persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus, because Pilate would, you know, it was his custom, their custom on that day, amen, to release one of the prisoners unto them, and the others had to go to the cross. And so he asked the crowd. And the chief priests and the scribes had already told him, well, Barabbas, we don't want them to release Jesus. This is our opportunity to get rid of him. Have you ever talked to people who want to get rid of Jesus? And what I mean by that, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. Amen. They try to dismiss it. They tell you it's a fair, all this, because they want to get rid of Jesus, because they don't want to answer to Jesus. These men didn't want to answer to Christ. They wanted to do things their way. They wanted to have their own religion, amen, and they wanted everything to operate according to the Judaism that they had formed over the time of the absence of God, amen, with dealing with the Israelite people. And they had established themselves as the holy ones and the religious ones, amen, and they had gotten so far from God that he had to come back and say, I got to reestablish this thing through Christ. And see, sometimes we don't want to, you know, acquiesce to a greater power, amen. So he persuaded them, amen, that they would, you know, that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 21, the governor answered and said unto him, whether of these twine will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Now look at verse 22. This is a Roman officer. He's a Roman, you know. Yeah, and he got better sense than the crowd right now. See, Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus? Because he had a conversation with Jesus, and you know, Jesus, you know, challenged him about truth, amen. And he and his wife had given him a warning, don't have anything to do with this man. Because in a dream, I suffered many things in a dream. In other words, she got a warning to give to her husband, and she's trying to tell her husband, don't you mess with him. But again, he put it to the people. Amen. And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Is anybody saying that today? Let me ask that question again. Is anybody saying that today? People are crucifying him every day, putting him back on the cross. Amen. By their choices and their their rejection, or I'm about to say something here, and again, I don't want to look at the Bible, by their disobedience to his word, even in the church. We're putting him back on the cross, crucifying him. What you did wasn't good enough. Help us, Lord. You know, so they said, amen, let him be crucified. And the governor said, what? Why? What evil has he done? Because he understood. He questioned him. He questioned those that were accusing him. And he himself came to the conclusion, he ain't done nothing wrong. This man, at one point he said, this man is not worthy of death. But because the people insisted, because the religious leaders insisted, and this is an important point, amen, I don't care what people insist. I don't want to follow the crowd without knowing and understanding what the truth is. But we see people following the crowd in our nation and around the world every day. And leaning in and accepting what the crowd is saying, even though many know it does not line up with the word or the will of God. But to be acceptable, to be, what's the word? Y'all might have heard this word recently. To be inclusive. We're accepting the mantra of the crowd rather than the will of our God. Still part of being ready. This is still a part, amen. I would rather be rejected by the world. How about you? And accepted by Jesus. Rather than worry about who don't like me or who don't agree with me, amen. Because it's not about me. My opinion doesn't matter. The word of God is what matters. And that's what we need to stand on. So when we're saying what's next, now what? What then? It's got to be focused on him. And when we do that, chances are we probably won't go wrong. But if we're doing it in our own understanding, or maybe like the people here in this crowd, allowing others to dictate our choice, our direction, our decision, because that's what the group is doing, it's a dangerous place to be. We look, amen, at the history of Jerusalem after that event, amen, and the Jews there paid a heavy price for turning their back on Jesus. Not immediately, but the price came to the destruction of Jerusalem. Because why? They made a wrong choice. Amen, they made a wrong choice. But God is a good God. He's a forgiving God. Amen. But yet the ruler, Pilate the ruler, understood, amen, he knew that you just can't dismiss Jesus. Even if you try to reject him, amen, without serious consideration, you can't dismiss him because he's always going to be there. They've been trying to get rid of him, amen, since before he was crucified. They've been trying to, if I use the world's vernacular, they've been trying to cancel him out. But he refuses to be canceled. He's greater than any cancellation plan we can come up with. Amen. His church has sustained and maintained, amen, because it cannot be canceled by man. The whole thing we see, sadly, in Jerusalem now is because they're trying to cancel out his chosen people, because that's where he's supposed to return when he comes, just to the city of Jerusalem. So if we can wipe out Jerusalem and push him into the sea, he's got nowhere to come. That's the bottom line. But we realize that he can't be canceled. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen, amen. So we need to learn to what? Embrace him. Amen. Embrace all that he is, amen. Because why? He is God. Amen. And we can't override and overrule that fact, amen. No. Let us live now as unto God. Let us make up our minds, amen, that, you know, our then what will always be about him. You know, it will always include his way, his will, his decision for our life, for your life and for mine, amen. That's what it's really going to all be about. My last passage I want to share with you this morning comes out of the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. If you need, we need to live now, let us live now as unto God, and not to this world or even to our own flesh, because it'll all be destroyed. Amen. But in Romans, the 6th chapter, starting at verse number 12, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And sin comes in many shapes and sizes and forms, amen, opportunities and so forth. So we don't have to spend a lot of time there. He said, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, he's brought us from spiritual death into life with him. And he wants us to live a life, amen, that glorifies him. Amen. And he's letting them know that, amen, a righteousness unto God. Verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Let me pause right there. There's a lot of grace preaching going on these days. Grace preaching that tells you that you can do what you got to do because you're covered by grace. Amen. That you don't need to repent no more because God's grace has got you covered. But that's not altogether true. Yes, we are under his grace. Amen. But he lets us know, shall we sin that shall sin abound? Can we just keep on sinning because grace is there? No. No. God, it tells us, amen, God forbid that we sin again. How many times did we see when he healed different ones, he told them to what? Go and sin no more. He didn't say, you got my grace. Go and do what you got to do. Have fun. You'll go find another, because one of the people he told us to do was a woman that was caught in the very act. And he didn't say, oh, you're good. You got the grace. I give you grace. Go find your partner. No. He said, go and sin no more. See, they said, yeah, grace did come. Jesus did bring us grace, but he said, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He gives us grace, but he also gives us the truth. You shouldn't be doing this. This is against my will. This is against my word. So when we get grace and truth together, now we're okay. But if we just try to take one without the other, amen, even if I came to you with a lot of truth and didn't have no grace mixed in, it would be kind of harsh. See, that's why he's such a loving God. He knows how, amen, to come in and help us. So let's not get stuck on grace, 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 and everything falls under grace. You know, the love of God is the number one thing that should be changing our hearts, changing our minds, changing our actions. And we as the people of God should be the most loving people on the planet. Amen. Not beating people down, not throwing people away, but knowing how to speak the truth in love. Amen, and to embrace them in love. Amen, because we know, well, let me just talk about me. When I came to God, I was messed up. I had a whole lot of issues. Amen, that couldn't be cleaned up in one day. Amen, but it took time, amen. So what am I saying? You can't rush nobody to be what you think they should be. Because the reality is he's still working on you. He's still working on me. Amen. But if we would understand his grace and his love is what changes us. Amen. Those are the things that change us. Amen. And he is the truth. Amen. He is love. So we should not be operating in any other way if we're going to be like him. But let me move on. Amen. He says, 16th verse said, know ye not that to whom ye yield your members as servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether unto sin, of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Our actions declare who we are, not our words. Our actions declare who we want to serve. Amen. Because we can talk Jesus all day long. Amen. We can learn the Christianese. I'm blessed in the Lord. I'm highly favored. You know, we can learn how to say all that, but it's not the words that we speak. It's the actions. Amen. Because if the words were true, the actions would follow. Amen. And more people are, you know, they're watching your life more than they're listening to your words. How you living, amen? Oh, he preach all that stuff. They talk all that goodness, but look at them. Right? You know, so we don't want to be that stumbling block, amen. We want to live what we speak, live what God has given us to live. Amen. Recognize, amen, that all things are about him. We're here to highlight him. He said in the 17th verse, he said, but God be thanked that ye were, that's the operative word, the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. See, you've obeyed from the heart, not just from the lips. Not just lip service. You can't give this thing lip service. Amen. It's got to be action behind it. He said, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Servants of righteousness. That means doing it not your way, but his way. Amen. Knowing that no matter what things come next, it's always going to be about him. It's about him. It's not about me. It's not about my agenda, my expectations, or my feelings, or, you know, all those things. It's not about that. It's about him. Only what you do for who? All right, amen. Let's remember. Not what you do for your husband or your wife. Amen. It's not what you do for Christ. Well, last. And someone said, well, I should be doing things for my husband and my wife. And I agree with you, but you should be doing it for your husband and your wife as unto God. And why am I adding that in there? Because the Holy Spirit leading me to add it in there, number one. But because why? If I treat her like God wants me to treat her, how do you think she's going to come out? Right? And if she treats me like God wants her to treat me, a brother's hooked up. I'm good to go. I'm going to be taken care of in every area. Why? Because why? She's not doing it to please me. That's when we get tired of serving one another. Right? He can get his own plate. He can cook his own dinner. Why don't she ever come out here and help cut this grass? You know, and you know, we doing it unto the flesh. But I understand my place and my position and my service unto my wife as unto God. So when I'm loving her and serving her as unto God, that other phone call that y'all thought might have been somebody else would only be my sister. Huh? See, she ain't got to worry about this brother because why? I'm serving him. And ain't nobody and nothing, amen, more important to me than him. And if she got that same mindset, I'm good to go. You see, when we do it as unto, but if we're doing it as unto the flesh based on our feelings, brother, my prayers would be hindered. Right? Oh, let me stop. We got to get it. What then? What then? She getting on my nerves. What then? Come on. He making me mad. What then? Huh? What's he tell you to do? Huh? Honor your husband. Love your wife. Lord, I got a whole another message started now. Huh? And if we're not doing those things, we're not doing what God told us to do. We're not doing what he told us to do. So it all, your whole being, your whole focus, your whole decision making and determination should be about what would God have me to do? Shut up, flesh. What would God have me to do? How would God have me to live? How does he want me to represent on my job, in my home, in the community, at school? Where? How does he want me? Because it's not me anymore. If they see me and they don't see God, I'm failing. That's right. But if they see God and they get mad, you're doing a good job because you're provoking somebody unto righteousness. You're walking in it. But we can't be like everybody because we don't be like everybody. We be like him. If I could use bad English for a minute, I want to be like him. That's what he wants for all of us. So every choice, every step, every decision, every, I'm not leaving nothing out, every should be about him. Not what they're saying to you, not what they're doing to you, but about him. So he said, love them that do what? Love you, right? No, he said, love them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Yeah. Huh? He wants to love them who despitefully uses us. But sometimes we get to that place, I ain't having it. Right? Nobody gonna talk to me like that. Let's see, you all in you now. And God ain't getting no glory now. I'm trying to stop. But he wants us to understand it's not you. Your response in every circumstance should glorify God. Not in the defense of you, but glorify God. Not in the exalting of yourself, but glorify God. What am I supposed to do with this? Give God the glory. Let's stand. Give him the praise. Don't let this world get in your way. Don't let your circumstances get in your way. Don't let yourself get in your way. Do it all as unto God. Recognizing, amen, that there's no greater love than to lay down your life, amen, for a friend. Is Jesus your friend? See, sometimes we think about the people around us, but when you reframe that, say, lay down your life for a friend. Jesus is our friend. You know, and because we can think, oh, yeah, I'll lay down my life for him, but that other person? No, but see, when you do it for them, you're doing it for him. You turn it all around. Make our whole living about Jesus. And along the way, amen, we begin to see God showing up. Because even when we get ourselves out the way, that means we're trusting the process. And he's working on us. He's building us. He's making us better. So if you know you're struggling in any of these areas, I encourage you, I ask you to come to the altar. You need God's help. We need God's help. Hallelujah. That we can yield ourselves over to him fully and completely without making excuses. Without rationalizing our choices, rationalizing our feelings, knowing that our decisions,
thank you, God, thank you,
are lining up with him. Our treatment of others is lining up with him. Our surrender is complete in him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. We thank you. As you speak to our hearts, you see right where we are individually. You know our struggles, God. You know our challenges. You know the things that your name stands above them all. Specifically, you know. We thank you right now that you're already working on their behalf. Because they yield to your word, hallelujah. And I just pray right now your strength. Hallelujah. Over each one of them. To say yes. And then what comes up? You say yes, Lord, to your will. I want to do it your way now. I want to walk after your ways, hallelujah.
in spite of what I see, in spite of what I feel, in spite of even what this world around me is telling me,
holy forever.
I want the words of my mouth, as the psalmist says, in the meditations of my heart, Lord, to be acceptable.
Hear your people cry.
Lord, because you're the servant of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts.
To the King of Kings.
You see it all. You know it all. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing secret from you, God.
You will always be.
So we come before you, Lord. In that sense, naked and not ashamed, God. Say, here I am.
Holy forever.
Here I am, God. Speak to me. Help me. Strengthen me. Lord, help me to change my ways, my thoughts, my speech, all my actions.
Creation,
Lord, that your righteousness can be revealed through me, through my speech, through my thoughts, through my actions. Lord, that you can get the glory out of my life. And it's not because you have to squeeze me hard or press me, God. But that I'll allow you,
hear your
Lord,
people
to flow
sing.
Easy.
Holy to the King of
Kings.
Holy.
Ladies,
you
Lord,
will always be.
We surrender our will.
Our
will, God, that gets us in trouble so many times.
Holy forever.
We surrender to you right now, God. We surrender our lives. Have your way in us.
Your name.
Have your way in us, God. So you can be able to have your way in us. Lord, that you get the glory and the honor. Lord, wherever we may be found, God, that we would make a difference. That we would show forth your love, your grace, Lord, to all those around us. Lord, that they would know that there is a God that is alive.
Your name is the greatest. Your name is the greatest. Your name is your name.
Give us a heart, Lord, for those that need you. Give us a heart for the world around us, Lord. Let us be moved by the things that move you.
Lord,
let us keep our voices.
Your name stands above them all.